Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel in chapter 13. Continuing along this evening in our series on the life of David, a man after God's own heart. We will pick up the story in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1. We'll read through verse 22. And that will be our text for this evening. Beginning then in 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 1, hear now the word of our God. After this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick. For she was a virgin, and it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Now Jonadab was a very crafty man, and he said to him, "Why are you, the king's son, becoming thinner day after day? Will you not tell me?" Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." So Jonadab said to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, 'Please let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it from her hand.'" Then Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, "Please let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight, that I may eat from her hand." And David sent home to Tamar, saying, "Now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was lying down. Then she took flour and kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and placed them out before him, but he refused to eat. Then Amnon said, "Have everyone go out from me." And they all went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the bedroom, that I may eat from your hand." And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom. Now, when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." But she answered him, "No, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. And I, where could I take my shame? And as for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." However, he would not heed her voice. And being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Arise, be gone." So she said to him, "No, indeed, this evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you did to me." But he would not listen to her. Then he called his servant who attended him and said, "Here, put this woman out away from me," and bolt the door behind her. Now she had on a robe of many colors, for the king's virgin daughters wore such apparel. And his servant put her out and bolted the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her robe of many colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went away crying bitterly. And Absalom, her brother, said to her, "Has Amnon, your brother, been with you? But now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this thing to heart." So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. And Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. As far as the reading of God's holy word. The Bible does not shy away from sin. The Bible does not shy away from recounting sin in all of its gory detail. And that's exactly what we have here in this passage. This is a story, an event that is a demonstration of the wickedness and the depravity that is present in the heart of man. And it is displayed for all to see. Amnon is really a wicked, wicked man. He's so obsessed with his sister. Remember, this is his half-sister. Absalom is his half-brother, the same father, David, but different mothers. He's so obsessed with her and with her physical appearance that it is making him physically ill. He's depressed. He's losing weight over it. He mistakenly calls this or attributes it to love. I'm in love with her. No, he's lusting after her. And his lust is so powerful that he's willing to deceive his father and to rape his sister. That's what he does here. And then when he is done with her, when he has satisfied his lust, he doesn't even address her by name. He says two words to her. He says, up, out. And when she tries to plead with him, don't do this. It's more evil than what you did. Now, how can anything be more evil? But she says, this is a greater evil. Don't compound your sin. He tells his servant, take this. In Hebrew, the word woman isn't even in there. He says, take this and put it out in the street. Like a piece of trash set on the curb. Now, that's what's going on here. That's what's going on here. If any woman was treated like this, much less my own daughter, I would be furious. I don't know if I have words for it. Such wickedness. And we might come to this passage and think, yes, look at this evil. This is really wicked. Look at the world that we live in. It is a really messed up place. But I want to remind you that this passage is not talking about the world. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel is the church. This is all happening in the church. And not only that, this is Amnon, the firstborn of David, the one who is to rule upon the throne of Israel, the one who is to be God's representative to the people. That's who's doing this. What a mess sin causes. What a mess. I hope you see here why we, especially in the church, ought to do everything that we can to resist it in our own lives, to stop it where we see it. And that's the warning that I want to give tonight as we look at these verses. Now the context here, we read in verse 1 of chapter 13, after this, after what? Well, after David had sinned with Bathsheba, after the son that he had had with Bathsheba had died in infancy in the first few days, after his second son with Bathsheba had been born, Solomon, and after he had repented of his sin, after this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. This is all occurring after that, but it's really a fulfillment of God's word. Look with me at 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 10. Yes, David is going to be forgiven of his sin, but the consequences are not going to be removed. That's what Nathan says to David. 2 Samuel 12 verse 10. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. And here we see the beginning of this happening in David's own family. And there's a parallel here to the sin of David. Remember, David saw a beautiful woman, Bathsheba, and he lusted after her, and he took her. Well, we see his son doing the same thing. Amnon sees a beautiful woman. We're told that she was Absalom's lovely sister, and he lusts after her, and he takes her. Later on, we'll see that Absalom is going to murder Amnon, much in the same way that David murdered Uriah. One commentator put it like this: the whole section, really beginning here in chapter 13 and going all the way through chapter 19, might be summed up in this way: like father, like sons. Like father, like sons. But as we look at this, we need to understand that wickedness exists, not simply out there, but also in the church. We need to guard against it. Wickedness must be guarded against even amongst the people of God. And we'll look at two things from these verses. First, that wickedness enters the church when the wrong voices are heeded. And second, that wickedness remains in the church when the right voices are silent. So wickedness enters the church when the wrong voices are heeded. Now, Amnon listens to a lot of voices except the one that is speaking a good word. Tamar is the only one here who is going to be saying the right thing. And he's the one that twice we're told he refuses to listen to. Now, the first thing that Amnon listens to is his own wicked heart. Verse 2, Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar. Why? Because he wanted her. He was making himself sick. This wickedness begins in the heart. That's what James tells us. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. That's what was going on in the heart of Amnon. He was listening to his own heart, and we see here that it was an improper desire. It was improper for Amnon to do anything to her, not simply because they weren't married, but they were brother and sister. It was improper. He understood that this was not right. Now, right there, Amnon should have stopped. Right there, Amnon should have said, whoa, this desire that I'm experiencing is not right. It is an ungodly desire, and I need to put it to death. But he listened to his own wicked heart. And then he listens to his wicked friend. We learn that he has this friend in verse 3 named Jonadab, and he's the son of Shimea. He's the son of David's brother. He's his cousin, David's nephew. And in verse 3, we read that Jonadab was a very crafty man. The Hebrew says that he was a very wise man, but the word crafty here in the English is a better description of it. Now, if Jonadab was a real friend, he would have also said, stop. Just stop right now. This is improper. Go no further. But he's not a real friend, is he? No. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us that evil company corrupts good habits. Well, if evil company corrupts good habits, how much more does evil company encourage bad behavior? And that's what we see here. Jonadab is encouraging him. He's crafty. He knows how to work the angles. He knows how to game the system. We might say that he was a very slick individual. And he comes up with this plan, and he gives to Amnon wisdom. I think this wisdom is the wisdom that does not come from God, but comes from Satan. In fact, back in the book of James again, James chapter 3 and verse 15. James describes it as this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. That is the wisdom that Jonadab is offering to Amnon. He's the devil's agent of influence in Amnon's life. And what does he tell him to do? He says, here's how you are going to get what you want. You need to pretend like you are ill. Now, he's already ill, so he probably had an easy time doing that. Pretend like you're ill and go ask your father for an innocent request. Have your sister come and maybe bring this food. And this food may have been food that would be given to a sick person to help them recover. and have her bring it, and get your father, who is going to come and visit you because he cares about you. When he comes, tell him to send her that she might come and prepare food for you. And he does just this. He pretends to be ill in verse 6. The king comes to see him, and he asks that Tamar be allowed to come and to make cakes for him. And David sends home to her. She's still living at home. And he commands her, now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. And Tamar is obedient to this command. She goes, and she does what her father says. But all of this is a ruse. All of this is a plan hatched by Jonadab. Now, Amnons in the church are bad, very wicked men, but there are also Jonadabs in the church. Jonadabs in the church, and they are far more dangerous than the Amnons because they tend to fly under the radar. They're crafty. They're slick. They work behind the scenes, but they work a greater evil, and that's what he does here. And let's see how it turns out. You see, Amnon had refused, Amnon had listened to his wicked heart. Amnon had listened to his wicked friend, but here we see that Amnon refuses to listen to his righteous sister. She prepares the food in verse 8. She takes the food in verse 9, and she brings them to him, but like a spoiled child, Amnon refuses to eat. And then he makes this demand, "Everyone go out from me." And they all went out from him. You see, Amnon wants to ensure that they are alone. He's getting ready to sin, and sin loves secrecy. Sin loves secrecy. In the book of Job, in chapter 24, and verse 15, particularly sexual sin, we read this in Job 24, verse 15, "The eye of the adulterer waits for the twilight, saying, 'No eye will see me,' and he disguises his face." Under the cover of darkness, make everyone go out, because it's going to be easier for me to sin. And we're told that once they are alone, he tells her to bring the food into the bedroom, that I may eat from your hand, in verse 10. And in verse 11, when she had done so, he took hold of her. And the word that is translated "took hold of her" here is a word that means overpowered her, prevailed against her. And he begs her, saying to her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." Now, how sinister is that? Just come and do this wicked thing with me. And then he adds on there, "my sister." He acknowledges, even in that statement, the wickedness of his actions. But here's where Tamar speaks up. And she warns him about his wickedness. And she gives him two warnings here. She answers him in verse 12. "No, my brother. No. Do not force me." In our modern language, she's saying this: "Brother, don't rape me." Now, I hate to be so crass, but I want you to understand the reality of the situation. That's what she's saying to him. "No, don't force me. Don't force me." And then she gives this first reason: "For no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing." No such thing is done amongst the people of God. This might be done out in the world, but you are in Israel. This ought not to be done. The language here, this disgraceful thing, and the way it's presented is the same language that is used in the incident of Dinah in Genesis chapter 34. Remember then when the sons of Israel are coming to Shechem, and their sister Dinah is taken advantage of. Genesis chapter 34 and verse 7. "And the sons of Jacob came in from the field when they heard it." That is, that Shechem had done this thing to their sister Dinah. And the men were grieved and very angry because he had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing which ought not to be done. Now, Amnon would have known this story. Amnon would have known that this was inappropriate. But he's not going to listen. So she continues on and she gives him a second warning. If the fact that this is not done amongst the people of God is not enough, at least think of the consequences of your actions. Verse 13, think of the consequences of your actions for me. And where could I take my shame? You see, if this happens to her, she is going to be ruined. We've already been told that she's a virgin. This will take that from her. She will not be eligible for marriage, never be eligible to have children. She says, where could I take my shame? Those are the consequences for me. And as for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel. The Hebrew word here translated fools is the same word as Nabal. Remember Nabal with David, that fool, Abigail's husband? You're going to be like a Nabal. You're going to end up like him. God struck him dead. This is how you're going to end up. Don't do this. Where could I take my shame? This is not simply rape, but this is incestual rape. That's what's going on here. Where can I take my shame? And then she pleads with him in a final ditch effort to stop him. Please at least just delay what you're about to do and talk to Dad. Talk to the king. Please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. Now, whether or not she thought the king would or would not, here she is a woman who is in a desperate situation. He's overpowering her. He's already told her of his intentions. She just wants to get out of here. But Amnon, we're told in verse 14, this is the first time that we're told this, but we'll be told it again. He would not heed her voice. And being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. He should have listened to Tamar. But he didn't. He listened to his wicked heart. He listened to his wicked friend, and he did this wicked act. You see, wickedness enters the church when the wrong voices are heeded. But it doesn't stop there. Once he has forced her, he goes on. And we're told in verse 15 that then he hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had supposedly loved her. And Amnon said to her, arise, be gone, up and out. That's what he says to her. Amnon, now that his lust has been fulfilled, has no more use for her. No more use for her. But once again, Tamar speaks, and this is the third warning that she gives to him in verse 16. So she said to him, no, indeed, this evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you did to me. It's worse. How is this going to be worse? Well, here he is putting her out. He's going to add to his crimes. He ought to, at that point, have gone to his father, repented, and dealt with this. But instead, he puts her out. I want you to notice the hardness of Amnon's heart here. We've already been told that he hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater. Now remember how much he loved or lusted for her, how great that was. It made him sick. But the hatred that he had was so much greater than that desire. And in the hardness of his heart, we're told that he would not, this is the second time we're told this, he would not listen to her. And then he called his servant, verse 17, who attended him and said, here, put this woman out, away from me, and bolt the door behind her. Again, in the Hebrew there, put this out. He doesn't call her by name. No longer is the word sister on his lips. Put this thing out. And bolt the door. And what began with Amnon's professed love for Tamar and his great desire to get her in the door now ends with his professed hatred of Tamar and his desire to get her out of the door as quickly as possible. And that's the way of sin, isn't it? That's the way of sin. Sin, it works in us, and we lust, and we lust, and we lust, and then we want it, and then as soon as we have it, what do we do? I'm satisfied, I'm done. I've used this person. I've used that situation. And we want to get rid of it. Now, he probably had some guilt, not godly guilt, but he didn't want to even look her in the face anymore. Bolt the door. Bolt the door. I don't want to see her anymore. And that's the reality of sin. If you're tempted to sin, especially in a sexual way, remember this, that when you get what you lust for, it will become loathsome to you. When you get what you lust for, it will become loathsome to you. What you thought you loved will turn to hatred. In other words, sin never satisfies. It didn't satisfy Amnon here. Now, if you would have talked to Amnon before this, he would have said, yeah, this is what I want. This is going to be good for me. But notice how quickly his heart changes after he has received what he wanted. It's horrible what happens to Tamar here. She has been treated horribly. She is devastated. She responds, we're told, by going out and tearing her robe. Now, she had a robe that the king's virgin daughters would wear. It was a sign that they were pure, that they were prepared for marriage. And what does she do? She puts ashes on her head, a sign of mourning. She tears her robe. It is no longer to be worn. She's no longer worthy of marriage. She puts her hand on her head, and we're told that she went away crying bitterly. Now, at this point, anyone with half a conscience wants something to be done. Wants something to be done for Tamar. Think about how she was treated. We want accountability. But you're not going to get that. And it's really sad that you don't see that here. Now, we see wickedness enter the church because Amnon listens to his own wicked heart. He listens to his wicked friend. He doesn't listen to Tamar, who gives him this good and godly advice. But then we see that wickedness remains in the church when responsible voices are silent. And we're going to see silence from Absalom and silence from David. We're told that in verse 20, Absalom, her brother, said to her, now this is telling, has Amnon your brother been with you? He sees her. He sees the condition that she is in. He sees that she is crying bitterly. He sees that her robe is torn. And immediately he makes the assumption, because he obviously knew of Amnon's character. And he says, has Amnon been with you? Has that scoundrel of a brother of mine been with you? And he realizes that he has. He tries to comfort her as best as he can. But now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this thing to heart. I doubt here that he as a brother is saying, just don't worry about it, it's not a big deal. But he's trying in the way only a brother can do to try to comfort his sister. He even goes so far to provide for her. Now, he could not provide a husband for her. He couldn't be her husband. And she was now no longer able to be married. But he does provide for her what a husband would provide. We're told that she remained desolate, without companionship, but she did remain in her brother Absalom's house. He made sure that she had a place to stay. He made sure that she was protected. He offered her at least that. But here's what he didn't offer her. He didn't offer her an immediate defense. He's silent. Look at verse 22. And Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. This is going to go on for a couple of years. A couple of years of Tamar having been treated in this way and her brother saying nothing but allowing bitterness to build up in his heart. Now, Absalom was wrong. We see here that he truly did hate Amnon, because if he loved him, he would have spoken to him. Look at Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 17. If Absalom had really loved Amnon, he would have went to him. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 17. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. In other words, if you fail to rebuke another person and bear their sin, you hate them. You're not showing love to them at all. You're allowing them to remain in their sin. You're not working toward reconciliation and repentance. Absalom remained silent, but then David remained silent as well. Now, David had a duty as the king to bring justice. What are we told in verse 21? But when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. Now that's good. He ought to have been very angry. But that's all we read. He was very angry. He had a duty as the king to uphold the law. He was very angry, but he did not act. He was playing the part of Eli. Remember Eli, who placed fatherly love above doing the will of God, who coddled his children? Look with me at 1 Samuel chapter 2. Just a few verses out of this chapter. First verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. You can say the same thing about Amnon. The son of David was corrupt and did not know the Lord. Now what should Eli have done? Well, look at verse 22 of 1 Samuel in chapter 2. Now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Very similar to these words that we read. King David heard of all these things. King David heard it all. He heard that Amnon had deceived him. Amnon had asked him to command Tamar to come, and Amnon had done so under false pretenses, and then Amnon had sent everyone out and then raped her and then sent her out in disgrace. He heard all these things. Much like Eli heard all of these things. And yet, what does Eli do? Verse 29 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people? David's doing the same thing that Eli did. And this is a warning to you who are fathers. A warning to you who are fathers, discipline your children. Do not coddle them. Discipline your children. And it's a warning to those who are leaders in the church. Discipline the flock. Yes, do so with love, but be sure when sin is revealed, it needs to be confronted. Because there are going to be Amnons in the church. Amnon was in Israel, wasn't he? But he, as we see here, was a wolf in sheep's clothing. He was a pagan in the midst of a holy people, a tare among the wheat. And in his selfish lust, he deceived his father and raped his sister. Wicked, wicked acts. And we may be tempted to think, the wickedness is out there. The wickedness is out there in the world, but wickedness is found wherever the human heart is found. And that desire wells up in the heart. It leads you to these places. It gives birth to sin, and when that sin is full grown, what happens? It leads to death. So the warning here is clear. The church is not immune to wickedness. The church is not immune to wickedness because the church is made up of people who are not immune to wickedness. Now, the gospel call is one in which, yes, we are called to come to Christ, receive the forgiveness of sins, but it's also a call to live as those who are saved, to put sin to death, not to allow wickedness to rule the day. And that's what we're called to do. This is the warning here. God's people, who are both redeemed from our sin, are also set free to live holy lives in Christ. And in order to do so, we must be on guard against wickedness, both from without the church and from within. So two practical things that we learn here from this encounter between Amnon and Tamar. The first thing is that we must be sure that we are listening to the right voices. Amnon didn't. He listened to the voice of his own wicked heart. He listened to the voice of a wicked and foolish counselor. Now, we must listen to the truth, no matter where it comes from. Amnon ought to have listened to Tamar. Let us not make the same mistake. And the second thing is that we need to make sure that we are being the right voices. That we are being the right voices, that we are speaking out in love, not hating our brother, when we see sin. Not to bring it to light just so other people can be ashamed, but because we care for them, for the good of our brothers and sisters in the church, for the good of the church as a whole. And again, this is so crucial for those who are in leadership. Absalom was silent. David was silent. David knew all the facts, and he did not act. Let us not make the same mistake. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, help us and forgive us for where we have been weak, for where we have allowed things that we ought not to allow to creep into our own lives and into the church, and help us to be wise. For God, we know that you would have us live not according to the dictates of our own wicked hearts, not according to the advice of wicked men, but according to your word, according to godliness and righteousness and truth. And we know that we can only do that by your word and your spirit. And so work that in us tonight and give us wisdom. We thank you for the warnings that you give us in your word. Help us to heed them and to hear those voices that speak the truth to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.